And welcome all of you, and all of those who are joining us through the internet, welcome as well. Now this morning, to begin with, I want us to open up our Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. And before we begin, I just want us to open in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, who is the truth. And I praise you, Father, that the word you've laid in my heart would be spoken through my mouth, not by me or by my wisdom, Father God, but by the Spirit and through your wisdom. And I just praise you now that you will think through my mind and speak through my mouth the things and the truths that you want all of us to hear. And I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. So this morning, we're going to open up in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Everybody here who has been in the Word for any length of time should know that scripture. In fact, we should be really good at that scripture. The Apostle Paul says in this scripture that we are to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life. To fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called. Now, over the last 3 weeks, we have been looking at the scriptures concerning the life that Jesus died to give us. Now, which life is that? Is it just any life? No, Jesus gave up his life to give it to you. Okay? That's what we've been talking about. Jesus didn't just give you life, Donald. He gave you his life. Why is that so important for us to see? Because his life has already been given. You see, if we always think of it as God gives us life, then we're waiting for life. But when we understand it was his life and a son was already given, that means the life is already yours. It's already been given to you. We're not waiting for God to zap us with a form of life. He's already given us the life of Jesus. And we need to ask ourselves, how is the life of Jesus? What is his life all about? What does he enjoy? And you know that that's what's been given to you. In fact, everything that we have is of Jesus. It is his. We have nothing. We died. The Bible says we've died in Christ. Yet now we live, but we live by his life. His life that was given to us. Okay, so that's what we've been looking at for 3 weeks. And we've seen that the life that Jesus gives is not just any life, but his life. And the Bible clearly tells us in the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. God has given us life, and the life is in his Son. Remember, Jesus said in the book of John, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus doesn't give life, he is life. He is in you. He's your life. His life is your life. We cannot separate the two. Jesus didn't say, I have life and I come to give it to you. He says, I am life. I am the truth. Jesus didn't come to tell us the truth. He came to be the truth because he is the truth. And there's a difference. It's just like God doesn't have love. God is love. God is love. So the Bible says that he who has the Son has life. So if Jesus is in you, you have eternal life within you. That's what we said last week when Jesus said, remember when Lazarus died and Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus would not have died. And Jesus said, well, I'm the resurrection. Or someday he's going to be resurrected back to life. And Martha said, yes, I know someday in the resurrection he will come back to life. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. I am the resurrection. And I am right here. We always want to put everything in the future. Eternal life is in you. It's not just someday when you die that you're going to enter into this life that we're talking about here today. Eternal life is in you. Why? Because Jesus is in you. Jesus is life. He who has the Son has this life. So when we realize and understand the life that we have now, the more we understand this life and see this life, the more we can walk away from darkness or from the world or from the life or the death. The world calls it life, but really it's death. And I always like to use this analogy. How do you understand it? It's like you are born in the flesh. Everybody in this room had a mom. Anybody was hatched by an egg? No, we were all born. You were born, you received life, but you were born to die. Right? Everybody is on their way. As the years go by, you're born to die. But in God's kingdom, you die in Christ to live. You die first, and then you begin to live his life. Wow. That's good news. So if you're walking according to the world, thinking like the world, you're on your way out. You know, every day, things deteriorate in the natural, your body, things around you. But the life of God is only getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And that's the life you have inside of you. You don't have to live any longer in the world. The Bible says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Even though we live in this flesh body and we're in the world and subject to all or this curse or this death is all around us. Everything is on its way out around us. We don't have to live that way. Why? Because we've got his life, eternal life, abiding on the inside of us. Now, up until this point in time, in history, have we seen a lot of eternal life manifesting? No. But like I said at the beginning of this year, I believe we lack an understanding of God's word. We lack an understanding of what we have and how to walk in it. And release it into our lives where we can really see it. You know, if you read in the book of Isaiah, it talks about the church that God is going to come back for. And it doesn't sound like we're just a weak little poor. It sounds like we are so full of life that people are following us because they want what we got. They see the life of God. They see that we're different. And so we're coming to an age, I believe God is really, through the gifts of the Spirit, through the teachers and pastors, he's raising up some of these truths that the church has had very little knowledge of or understanding of is going to finally come full. Till all come into the unity of the faith and the fullness of the knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus then will come back. And so we're in training, people. We're learning. We're understanding what we already have, so that we can go out there and we can use it. Amen? We can see that it's real. We need to prove that God is real. And this is the school. You're sitting here. I am not a preacher. I'm a teacher. I love to teach the word. It's hard sometimes. My mind goes, I need to just get away from some of the thoughts that I have. They just go on and on and on. It's like I want to just turn it off sometimes. But I'm always trying to rip the word apart and see what is it. What are we missing here? What don't we see? And so I am not a preacher. I am a teacher. So you are in school and you are learning who you are, who Jesus is, and how to walk in this life that we've been talking about. Amen? So he who has the Son, if you have Jesus in your heart living there by faith, you have eternal life within you. His life is what you received when you received him. His life is what you received. And remember I said at the beginning of this 3 weeks ago, let's forget about receiving. When you received Jesus, you received everything. Eternal life. It's already in you. But even though you and I have this life living on the inside of us, in order to experience it in the natural and to bring it out to where it can be seen and live in this life on the earth, then first of all, we must enter into this life by faith. We're not trying to get life. We already have it. We must enter in and just rest in what we've already got. That's the first step. And then we must speak it. That's faith. You enter in and you speak. That's what faith is. But that's where the struggle comes in. We just read. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on this life that's within you. Now, God or Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of God, the Bible says. What's he doing? He's seated. He's resting. He is resting in his new life. He is resting. I said last week, we are one with him. He is different than he was before. And his life is your life, and your life is his life. But he's resting in this life, enjoying the fruits of his labor. Amen? And he worked when he went to the cross. He worked. But now he's resting in his new life. And the only fight we are told to fight in the Bible is for us to enter in to his rest. In other words, quit trying to get life. Enter into his life. Like I said 2 weeks ago, you don't need healing in your body. You need to enter into his health. You don't need finances. You need to enter into his prosperity. He's prosperous. That's why the question you need to always ask yourself isn't, am I prosperous? Am I healthy? No, is he prosperous? Then I enter into that and I just sit there. There's nothing I can do to generate anything. He is life. So the word fight here, let's take a look at this word. It means to struggle. Fight the good fight. Struggle the good struggle of faith. How many of us know in this room that faith can be a struggle? Anybody ever tried to live by faith, walk by faith? I mean, we should be doing that every day. Faith can be a struggle. But we always must remember, and I'm sure we know this in this room, that the struggle is not with God. You're not fighting with God to give you something. He's already given the Son. In the Son is life. He even put you to death in the Son and gave you his Son's life. It's already been given. So you're not struggling for God. You're not fighting with God to bless you, to give you life. No, he's already given it. And you're not fighting demons or evil spirits who you might think are keeping this life from you. No. What does the Bible say? It tells us in Hebrews 2:14 that Jesus, through his death, destroyed him that had the power of death, who is the devil. Who had the power of death? The devil. Those who are not in Christ, who has the power of death in their lives? The devil. Now we've been set free from that power. We have the power. You have the power in your life now. No one can kill you. No one can kill you. So if it's not against God, if the struggle isn't with God, and it isn't with principalities and powers and darkness, the rulers of this, the evil rulers of this world, then who is the struggle with? Yeah, of course. The struggle goes, it's between the ears. It's in your mind. It's in your mind. The struggle is in the mind. We are struggling to believe. Because all that God says goes contrary to what we see in the natural. God's ways are totally opposite our ways. So we are struggling to believe. What are we struggling to believe? You need to ask yourself the question, what am I struggling to believe? Believe what? To believe God's word and not what we see or feel or hear. You know, we're such a feely, emotional person, people. One day we feel this and one day we feel that. We change our minds from day to day. God's word never changes. So the struggle is to believe the word of God over our circumstances, over what we feel, what we see, even what we hear. But you know, this morning, I want to go somewhere, maybe say some things that maybe you haven't really thought of before that'll help us to understand and to deal with this struggle. And I want to encourage you in this. Do not overemphasize the fight. I'm going to say it again. Don't overemphasize the fight in your mind. Don't make it so big that you think there's a possibility you might lose. Come on. How many times you know you're supposed to walk by faith, but you think, oh, I just haven't got it in me. I just as soon take a pill out of the bottle. I know by his stripes I am healed, but it's way easier to go to the doctor and get some different medicine than it is to fight the good fight of faith, to struggle. Because in the past, I remember I tried that, and I suffered for 2 days where I could have took a pill and it could have just been gone. And so we have overemphasized the struggle in our minds. And a lot of times, we don't want to use faith unless there's no other way. Unless your back is up against the wall and there is no way in the natural. Bless God, now it's time to bring out the faith. No, if that's the only time you bring out your faith, the struggle is going to be great. Because we need to be good at the faith. Tori played volleyball yesterday. She hasn't played in a long time. Now, we know, even in the natural, when you do something on a regular basis and you're called to something, it's going to be a lot easier for you than when you just kind of shut it down for a year and then you pick it up and, wow, it's hard. Faith is no different. You can't just say, well, I'm going to use faith only when there's no other way. No, use faith. We're supposed to live by faith every day. So don't overemphasize the struggle that goes on in your minds. We have spent so much time talking in the pulpit about this fight. Have you not heard many, many messages on the fight of faith? That in most of our minds, my mind included and your mind, it has become so big. It has become bigger than the victory. Come on. This shouldn't be so. And this morning, I'm endeavoring to make that struggle a lot smaller. This is where the problem lies. You and I are still being led by our minds. Up here is where we're being led. And if in your mind you can't see it, you can't even fathom it, because some of the things God's word says is hard for us to fathom even. And I know I've said it here too, God forgive me. If you can't see it, you can't have it. And so we start the fight of faith, or we start with faith, and then we struggle in our minds to believe it. Am I right? You struggle in your minds, and your mind, it can't see it. You can't see with your mind. And if we can't see it in our minds, or if we can't fathom this life in our minds, the life that Christ has given us, then we give up. And what do we think? We haven't got the faith. And what I'm saying to you this morning, and without any of us realizing we do it, is we're trying to believe God's word with our minds. You're trying to believe God's word with your mind, and this is where the struggle comes in. Because your mind can't believe God's word. What does the Bible say about our minds? Romans chapter 8 says this, that your mind is an enemy of God. Your mind is at enmity with God. Now, I'm talking about your carnal mind. Your mind thinks different, Don, than God's mind thinks. So it's hard for you to grasp. Your mind is an enemy to God. Your mind is a flesh mind. Your mind can only believe what it sees. You know the old saying, I won't believe it until I see it. That's totally opposite of God's ways. God believes it first, then he sees it. So our minds can't fathom that. So we're trying to believe God with our minds, and our minds are carnal. And the Bible says that our minds are at enmity against God and cannot. It doesn't say is not at this point. It says it cannot be subject to the law of God. In other words, your mind will never ever be able to see or fully understand and comprehend and see God. So you know what? That's good news this morning, because that's where the fight takes place. That is good news. And if you can grasp what I'm trying to tell you here this morning, your faith will not be such a struggle anymore. A struggle that you are afraid you will lose because maybe of some past experiences in your life when you did step out in faith, or maybe because of what Susie down the road had happened in her life. She was believing God, and look what happened there. Not so good. In other words, in our minds, we think and believe that faith is not always a sure thing. Because we see that it isn't in other people's lives, in our lives. But you know, today, I want to clear up some of these things about faith. The Apostle Paul says this: to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life. It's hard. It's hard when we live in a world that is going towards death for you to stand up and say, no, I'm not going down that road. And they will look at you like, excuse me? Like my mother says, who do you think you are? Well, I am a child of God. I have this life of God on the inside of me. And I'm walking in that life. So the world cannot understand even what you're saying. They think your mind is, you've lost your mind. And that's a good thing, because we need to lose our mind. It's the mind that keeps you in this world and keeps you subject to the world. So this is a good thing. The Apostle Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on this life. Now, we know the fight is not with God and it's not with evil spirits, but it is in the mind. But then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, here the Apostle Paul goes on to say this: for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. In other words, Paul is getting ready to depart from this life. He knows he's going to heaven. I'm done my job here. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. That's the fight, to keep the faith. Now, it's a lot easier than what you think it is to do, to keep the faith. But your mind is telling you, ooh, that's really hard to keep the faith. Now, with the understanding that the struggle or the fight takes place in your own mind, if you and I read this verse in error, it almost seems as if faith comes from the mind. And that's where we miss it. You don't believe in your mind. Where do you believe from? Your heart. The heart believes. We have been trying to believe with our minds and getting very frustrated in the process. And the struggle is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Because one day you feel like, yes, I believe it. But the next day, something happens in your circumstances and your mind's going, well, I guess I didn't get it. I guess I don't believe it. And so you're going up and down and up because you think that your mind, the faith is coming from your mind. Your mind has nothing to do with your faith. That's good news. That's good news this morning. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So faith does not come from your mind. We have been taught almost to the point where we have to believe God's word completely in our minds without any doubts. Because in our thinking, doubts are in the mind. And without even realizing we're doing it in the body of Christ, we are trying to conjure up faith in our minds, which is impossible. The Bible just tells us, your minds, it is impossible for your minds to understand the ways of God. But the Bible clearly says it's with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Faith comes from the heart, not your head or your mind. Mark 11, 23, 24 says, have the God kind of faith. Whoever will say unto the mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and will not doubt where? In his head or in his mind? No, in his heart. That what he says, but he will believe the things which he saith shall come to pass. What is he going to have? Whatever he saith. Now there's two principles there. It's about saying it, and it's about believing in the heart, not the mind. So, you know, don't let your head or your mind tell you that you do not have faith. Because that's what we do. We mentally allow our heads to dictate to us who we are and what we have. Because we have been almost led to believe that we got to believe it in our heads. Forget about it. Shut your brain right off. And when your head tells you, yeah, Diane, you don't have faith, you just say, shut up, head. Faith is not in my head anyways. So what that tells me is that sets me free from this struggle that's going on all the time. You know what? The head can fight with itself all it wants. It's the heart that believes. It's from my heart that faith comes. And if you really sit down and examine your heart, you will see you do believe. Your head is saying, nah, nah, but your heart is saying yes. So let's just forget about the head for a minute here and all of the junk that goes on in your head. Because your head can't believe. It's impossible for your head to believe anything other than, like I say, that is in the natural. Because our minds are natural. So without realizing it, we have been trying to conjure up faith in our minds. But it's our heart that believes. And 11:22, Mark 11:22, 23, 24 tells us that we shall not doubt in our hearts. So don't let your mind control the faith that you have. Don't let your mind tell you you don't have faith. Because that's what the mind will tell you. You don't have the faith. You don't have the God kind of faith. You don't have enough faith. You don't have big enough faith. Or maybe your mind is saying you don't got no faith at all. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what is by? Faith cometh by the means of hearing. Hearing what? The means of hearing. Hearing by the word. It's the mean. Faith cometh by the word. That's what it basically is saying. Faith cometh by you hearing the word of God. So how does faith come into our hearts? So if you back up and read, and this is important to see this, if you back up and read the whole context of this chapter, Paul is talking here about the message of the glad tidings, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that Jesus took your sin, he became your sin, he died your death, and now that he's risen, you are in his life, you can live his life. That is the good news. That is the message whereby your heart believes. And the moment you believe that message, that life that you believe comes to live on the inside of you. So the Apostle Paul, when he makes the statement that faith cometh, so how many times does faith have to come? One time. You got to know that you already have the faith. You don't need any more faith. We're not trying to get faith. We already heard the gospel news, the message of Jesus Christ. And now that faith is in us. It's his faith. It's released by the word. So, in fact, another way of looking at this is this. The word that you received, you heard the message, the gospel. You received it. You believed it. You took it to yourself. You may not have understood it in your mind. In fact, your mind is saying you're nuts. But something on the inside of you said, yeah, you know, I believe that. And so you took it into your heart. So now the word, because faith cometh by the word is now your faith. You understand that? The word that you heard, received, it went in here, now it's your faith. It never departs. The Bible says that word will never depart out of your mouth from now until forever. So you already have the faith. Don't let your head tell you, you have no faith, Lorelai. You have all the faith of Jesus on the inside of you. We all do. Irregardless of what our head is saying or what our head believes, the faith is in there. You need to see that. You need to separate your mind from faith right now. The faith is in your heart. Because faith comes by the word. It is by the means of the same word that you were born again. Why? Because the word is life. You know, you're not saved by your faith. You're saved by the word. The word of God is life. But in order for the life to be released, what has to happen? The word is in you when you receive Jesus. That's what the life is, the word. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void. How does the word come down? As rain, as snow from heaven. That's all of the word comes down. So by the same word, you have all, the same word that saved you, that word now lives in you, which is Jesus. And you have all the life of Jesus by the word, but the word must be spoken. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. The word was the life of God. He had to speak it. He had to release it into the atmosphere. And that word became. In fact, God actually said, become, and it became. Light be. Now, the word is the life of God. You can't separate it. In the Bible, in the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. You need to see this. And it needs to be released out of your mouth. And it creates. The word must be spoken. Don't worry about what your head is saying. Speak the word. Don't worry about what your head is saying. We give way too much credit to our head. We're way too much led by our thoughts. We need to be led by the heart. Don't worry about what your head is saying. Your heart believes. Your heart has faith. For sure. 100% for sure. Because Jesus is in it. Don't ever tell yourself you don't have faith. You have faith. Just use it. Release it. It has nothing to do with your emotions or your feelings. You know, the Bible says that you will know the truth. And it's not your knowledge of the truth that will set you free. You see, the knowledge is in the head. You think, oh, how's that set me free now? No, it says you will know the truth. You first of all have to know what the truth is. But it's that truth that will set you free. It's that word. See the word as a person. Not as your thoughts or your feelings or what you believe or as your emotions. We look at it wrong. We see it from the wrong perspective. We need the Holy Spirit to shine the light on what the scriptures are really telling us. It's not that hard, like I said before. It can't be that hard for you and I to enter into this life. Because why would God have set it up to be that hard? Why would he say you have to live by faith if he didn't expect you to use the life he's given you? Some people say, oh, no, 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 God. God only wants us to escape from hell in the end. Then why faith? Why do we even need faith? Why do we even need faith? So don't worry about what your head is telling you. Know for sure that your heart believes. You're in your heart is where the faith is. If you've received Jesus, you've got it in there. It has the faith of Jesus. But you need to speak, and you need to keep on speaking. The Bible says, ask and keep on asking that your joy might be made full. Too many times we speak, and we don't see it happen right away, you know, and then we think, oh, this isn't working. And we stop. We stop. That's what Paul said. I've kept the faith. I never stopped speaking. No matter what was happening around me, I kept speaking life, which was the word of God. You know, the Bible says life and death are not in the power of your mind. Although positive thinkers will tell you, you know, you think positive, there is something to positive thinking. I'll grant you that, but in the natural. But the Bible says life and death is not in the power of your mind. Where is it in the power? And it's not even in the power of your heart. The power is in your heart, but it's in the power of this little member right up here. And you all have a speaking voice. You know, I heard someone say just this week that, you know, we why do we wonder that we have to speak? You know, and they use this analogy. When God created dogs, he created them to do what? To bark. When he created cats, he created them to meow. When he created humans, he created us to speak. So of course that's the way we're going to express. That's how we express life. That's how we express what's going on in our hearts. Is through words. So it's not a weird process. It's a natural process for us to speak, because that's what we were created to do. So, life and death, your life and your death are in the power of your mouth, of your tongue. Do not treat God's word as common. What I'm trying to get you to see is this word is in you. Whether you believe that word with your mind or completely understand it or not, trust the word. Do not treat it as common. God's word, Jesus said, the words that I speak are what? Spirit and life. They are supernatural. God's word is supernatural. And when you apply them through your mouth and they come from your heart, where the faith of Jesus is, it's actually like Jesus speaking. And when you apply the word, it takes the natural and it takes it and turns it into super. Natural, I speak life. The Bible calls life light. Now, all that death is the absence of life. And when you speak life, which is the word of God, over your situation, the darkness flees. It's like turning the light on in the room. The darkness flees. There's no such thing as darkness. It's just an absence of light. There's no such thing as death. It's the absence of life. Tell your body that. It's the absence of life that is causing my body to deteriorate. Speak life. Release life. Into your body, into your finances, into your marriage relationship, whatever, you need life, speak it. Don't worry that you maybe don't understand it or try to figure it out or wonder whether you really believe it or not. And you know what that does? It silences you. And the last thing the devil wants you to do, Lorelei, is to start releasing it. It's like, okay, he knows what's in you. He sees it. Because the devil is in the spirit world. He sees this light bulb on the end, this life is just pulsating. And he knows as long as you keep it zipped and don't let it come out of here, it can do nothing in his little kingdom. But once you start letting it pour out, now he is going to try to shut you up. He hates it. He doesn't care how big your heart gets with this life and this word, just don't let it come out of your mouth. Because that's where now you are stepping on his head. You are causing life to pour out of you wherever you go. Freely you have received it. Freely let it flow out of you and give it away to others. Speak life. Don't let your head get in the way. Remember that. Next time you go to pray for something, next time you want to speak over something, shut your head off. It doesn't matter what your head says. It's what's in here. Let it come out of here. Because you know in your heart, God's word is the truth. God's word is supernatural. They are spirit, and God's word is life. So don't treat the word of God as a common thing, as a natural thing. In other words, you know, when someone in the natural tells you something, you know, their words, sometimes they keep their word, sometimes they don't. Sometimes circumstances will dictate whether someone is able to keep their word or not. But you can know that God's word is life. It's not the word that he spoke and the promise he gave you. He gave you his word, is what I'm saying. He gave you life itself. See it that way. The word is a person. He gave that word. It's in you, and it's just pulsating. It's ready to be released to bring life. It has nothing to do with you. God has graced you with that, and you need to separate your mind from the word and how it works. It's a simple thing. You have this life. You have the word. You have the life. You're not trying to get the life. God sent his word, and he healed you. God sent his word and he prospered you. God sent his word. You take that life and everything of Jesus is in you, but now you must speak it out. God's given you that authority, you that control. He will never force his life on you. You are in control of how much life, how much of his life you want to enjoy. So the life of God is the word of God. What does the Bible say in the book of Hebrews? That his word is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between the spirit, the soul of man. He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is the life of God, and you have the word in completeness in your heart. It's in there. So what area in your life do you need life? You can speak boldly right now. You don't have to wait and conjure up some sort of faith before you speak. It's already there. It's the word that sets you free. It's the life of the word. It's not the life of your mind or your believing that people say, well, you know, you got to believe it. And so we spend so much time trying to believe the word of God in our minds and not speaking until we think we believe it. You do believe it. You got faith in your heart. Tell yourself that. You have faith. Speak it. Speak the word in your life. We can speak boldly God's word and release it over the situation and know and have my trust, not in what I think, not in what I feel, not what my mind is telling me, but I have faith in that word. I believe that Jesus Christ was the word. I know that in my heart. That's the truth. And I can speak God's word because I know his word is spirit and it is life. And I know that the whole creation, the whole universe was created with his word. If God had not spoken, let there be light, there would have never been light. And when God spoke it, it's still in existence today. It'll never pass away. That's why the Bible says, my word will never pass away. It is life. If the word passes away, God must pass away because the Bible says that him and his word are one. So when you speak the word, you're speaking God, you're speaking life. And we need to put him on a much higher plane. Don't treat his word like it's common. See the word for what it is. It's given to you as a gift. Use it. Use the word. And furthermore, even when you and I don't know what to say as we ought, and this is exciting. You know, Jesus looked after everything. He loves you so much. He wants you to be so full of life. He's just looked after every detail. The Bible says that, you know, and furthermore, when you don't know how to speak as you ought, sometimes, you know what? We need to speak God's word, God's life into a situation, but we're not sure. And you know what? There are people that don't know all of the word. But God has made something or given us a gift that surpasses all of that. And how many of us know what that gift is? The gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that he comes along. He's our helper. And he bears us up in our weaknesses. What is the word weakness? Our inabilities. Our inability to speak properly. To know what to say. And he prays through you and for you. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit praying through you? He says in the book of John that out of your innermost beings is going to flow rivers of life. Not just a little trickle of life. You want rivers of life flowing out of you. So let me ask you this question. When you are praying by the Spirit, when you are praying in tongues, guess what? Can you guess what the Holy Spirit is actually saying and praying through you? The word. The word of life that you need for that situation. And in fact, the great thing about the Holy Spirit is he knows all things, the Bible says. He knows your tomorrows. He knows exactly where you're going to end up 25 years from now. He knows where you came from. And so he is able to pray life into your future. He sees an accident. He sees death. When you pray, he gets out. And you know what? You can just sit there, shut your mind off. That's one awesome thing. Your mind doesn't come in and say, you don't believe that, Ivy. Because your mind doesn't even know what you're saying. What a powerful form. What a resting place. No wonder the Bible says this is our resting place. We're resting from the struggle that goes on in our minds when we are praying in tongues. It's a great place to be. And we know we're just letting God pray through us. That gift is one of the most beneficial gifts, powerful gifts, awesome gifts. And I know in my own life, wow. You know, there's times where I don't know what to say. I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit. And you know, when you just start praying by the Spirit and you just know all of a sudden it just begins to work. It's an awesome gift. If you do not pray in tongues here today, you ought to. It's for your good. God's not going to force you, but it is a gift that he gives to all of us. And bless God, I don't know about you, but I want to have as much life as I can in this life. And so if he's given us a gift whereby we can obtain and receive more of that life or walk in that life, why would I reject it or refuse it? It's powerful. It's a powerful gift. And so even in the lives of those who maybe don't know the scriptures, the word of God that they need to bring life in this situation, he's given you the Spirit, and the Spirit knows. He knows exactly what word you need to bring life into that situation. And so by faith, the same type of faith that you use when you release the Holy Spirit out of your mouth through prayer is the same type of faith you should have when you just release God's word through your mouth. Your mind shouldn't even be involved, because it's not in your mind that you're believing it. It's coming from your heart. And faith is in your heart, not your head. So turn your mind off. Cast down those thoughts that tell you you're crazy, Michelle. Michelle, this is what your body is telling you right now today. This is what the doctor's report has told you. And your mind is going on and on and on. But the word of God is telling you this. Just say, oh, mind, shut up. The word says this, and I'm going to release the word, whether my mind believes it. But don't get discouraged when you evaluate your mind and you find that you're lacking. You don't really believe it. Don't worry about it. Don't let that make you stop speaking. Put your faith and trust in the power of the word alone. Apart from what you think about the word or what you believe about the word, it is the word of life. You can believe that. You know, the greatest example of this is in Matthew 8:8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. And 8:8, how many of us know what the number 8 stands for? New creation. So new creation is the church. It's the church that was birthed in Christ, who we are. We have the life of Christ now. And in that scripture, it's about the centurion. You know, 8:8 stands for new creation. Centurion stands for what? 100. What does 100 stand for? The elect of grace, the new creation. All works together. Matthew 8:8. I don't think that's by coincidence that the Holy Spirit, who wrote this book, put it 8:8. Because we are the elect of grace. We are the new creation in Christ. And what does that scripture say? First of all, it's the centurion has a servant that's lying sick. He goes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, you know, I am a man under authority, just like you. And I say to one, he goeth. I go to say to another, and he goeth this way. I understand, he's saying, but my servant is sick. Lord, you don't have to come there. But, and what I want you to see here is this. He says, speak the word only. Just speak the word only. Is that how you see faith in your life? Speak the word only. You see, the centurion, and Jesus said, he marveled. He said, I have not seen such great faith. Who totally was able to separate his mind from anything and just say, I know that your word that you speak is life. So just speak it. And my servant, he says, will live and be healed. And Jesus marveled. He didn't even need Jesus to go there and speak the word. Just speak it. And now the word is in us. Jesus is in us. And he's saying to you, Lorelai, speak the word only and you will see life. Don't worry about your head. Don't get caught up in whether I believe it or whether I don't believe it. Yeah, that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to get so wrapped up in what you think that you forget that the life doesn't come from your head. It comes from your heart. So speak the word only and you will see God's life. And don't walk away and say, well, it didn't work. I spoke it. Speak it and keep on speaking. Speak. Water it. Water it. Bring life to whatever it is that's dying. And you will see. Have trust in the word. It's not in you, your goodness, or your faith. Have trust in the word. Your faith. Don't have faith in your faith. You can't have faith in your faith. That's what we're trying to do. But have faith. Trust. The word is God. The word is life. It's in you. You have that faith in you. Speak it out. And watch the life of God transform your life in every area. Amen? Amen. How many of us learned something this morning? Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father.